You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're on the Tuesday Wire on 95BFM. We have one last piece for you to round out the show, and this piece is from Joe. Although Mental Health Awareness Week has already been last week, it is still important to look out for one another during such an unprecedented time. Intrusive thoughts have been a matter discussed within the field of mental wellbeing, as they are more common during the pandemic. Researchers have recently been looking at how intrusive thoughts come about, as well as how we can control them. Joe talks to Lise Donkin, a clinical psychologist from AUT, about intrusive thoughts and how they affect our mental health and how to manage them. Joe also says, PS, apologies for the audio technical difficulties, but it's lockdown and we're all doing awesome. So here's the interview now.
So what are intrusive thoughts?
Sure. So probably depending on whether you're talking diagnostically or day-to-day, some people might use the term intrusive thoughts to refer to thoughts that just pop up when are unexpected or untriggered. From a clinical perspective, when we're thinking about the things that people are struggling with, for us, intrusive thoughts are thoughts that pop up when unexpected, but often cause distress and are then very hard to shake. So they do hang around and they become distracting from day-to-day life as well.
Do intrusive thoughts have any link to other mental illnesses?
So traditionally people have thought about intrusive thoughts being linked to things like psychosis, so having thoughts that pop up around things like paranoia or highly distressing thoughts, or post-traumatic stress disorder, where it is actually one of the diagnostic criteria for having intrusive thoughts or re-experience another trauma. OCD is another common one people think about, and most people are aware of OCD and intrusive thoughts like a fear of germs and then the associated hand washing. But of course OCD is much more than that, and there are lots of different types of OCD. What we do realise is that intrusive thoughts are a key part of many of the mental health diagnoses that we work with. So people who are depressed can have intrusive thoughts. They're really common in anxiety disorders as well, also in postnatal depression too. So they really sit across the disorders because the distress caused by these thoughts is often what drives the emotional distress and is what impairs the day-to-day functioning. So that's why people end up needing to get help, because their thoughts are so distressing for them.
What are your thoughts on researchers trying to better understand intrusive thoughts and even prevent it?
In terms of the neurobiology and neuropsychology of intrusive thoughts, there is increasing research in this space as we get better imaging technologies and better understanding of brain function, because we're obviously still discovering that. So we know that the GABA neurotransmitter is involved, and that's a transmitter that's involved with repression of memories and thoughts. And so when you have not enough GABA or it's not firing right, what you can experience is more thoughts, and it's harder for you to manage those thoughts. But we also know there are biological vulnerabilities too. So for example, if you're tired, it is much harder for you to suppress those thoughts as well. And obviously the imaging studies are also showing us around different areas of the brain that are involved too. And I think it's really helpful to understand a biological derivative from this. However, it doesn't necessarily tell us, for people having those thoughts, how to then manage those thoughts. So on one level, it's quite validating to say there's a biomechanical process underlying this. But then what? I still have to live with this, so how do I then manage that?
How would you recommend people manage their intrusive thoughts?
So I think the COVID anxiety pandemic is a really interesting situation because maybe some of these thoughts are adaptive and actually are reinforced by the media at this time. And I feel like we could do a whole interview on this, because myself and one of my students actually wrote a chatbot for the anxiety related to COVID-19 last year and tested that out in the community. So we could definitely have a much larger conversation on that, probably with her if you're interested. Generally, the thing with intrusive thoughts, the problem is that they are incredibly distressing for people. And sometimes those thoughts are associated with urges, or people believe they're associated with urges. So one of the first steps I would say to people is recognising that these are thoughts. You know, thoughts are only thoughts, and they actually can't do anything to you. And over the course of the day, we have thousands and thousands of thoughts. And when we are attuned to noticing a particular type because they're distressing, they are the ones that we notice. They've probably always been there, but we become much better at noticing them because we are distressed about them. So first and foremost, notice that as a thought, label it as a thought. recognizing that this is just an automatic thought and it cannot hurt you, nor can it make you do anything. So you do not have to act on that thought. You can just notice that you've had that thought and let it go effectively. And there are lots of activities around mindfulness around this, of observing your thoughts and letting them go. Because the more tightly you hold on to a thought, or the more you try desperately not to think about a thought, often it becomes worse as well. So label the thought as intrusive, recognize it for what it is, that it's only a thought, that it isn't an urge that you have to act on. You might be able to reframe it and say, that's just my brain's warning system helping me recognize things that might be a threat. It's not a threat and I'm okay. So having some kind of self-talk around that and then letting that thought go. Then I think also recognizing around that is what are your vulnerability times? So is it that when you're out in public, if it's COVID-19, or when you are sleep deprived, or it's late at night, do you have times that are particularly challenging for you? Because it might be that you need a bit of a plan around managing your thoughts at that time too. And this can be things like distraction, activities that engage your brain. It can be relaxation and mindfulness. But I would definitely recommend that people also work on recognizing that a thought is just a thought. It can't hurt you and it can't make you do anything. You can choose to engage with it or not, and practicing letting it go. And that's obviously much harder to do initially, and particularly when the thoughts are just so distressing, the idea of sitting and observing a thought can feel really overwhelming. But actually, the more that people kind of acknowledge it for what it is, effectively sitting back and watching it like a movie, you know, you can watch a movie but you don't have to act on what you see, it's the same type of thing. So being able to kind of really distance yourself from that thought and say, it's just a thought, it's my brain coming up with scenarios, I don't need to act on it, and letting it go versus fighting it, I definitely think that's much more effective. Distraction can be helpful, but also what you're doing is you're trying hard not to think about the thought, and so then it still is in your brain and being salient, because in order not to think about something, you have to think about it. And one of the metaphors we often use is, you know, asking people to not think about like pink elephants or polar bears for a minute. But in order not to think about something, you have to actively think about it to not think about it. So there is a bit of a catch-22 there as well.
New Zealand is obviously facing quite an unprecedented time. At the moment, as we approach almost 2 months in lockdown, what are some things people can do to keep up their mental wellness at this time?
So I think first and foremost, like anything, and probably for all of us, is looking after yourself physically. So getting enough sleep, getting out, getting some exercise, and eating well. Because these are emotional vulnerability factors. When we're not eating well, when we're not exercising, and when we're really tired, generally our emotions fluctuate more, and we have more of the what we would label negative emotions, which is a bit of a terrible term because no emotions are really negative. But we do know from the researchers is that when you are tired, it is much harder to fight those intrusive thoughts. So getting enough sleep first and foremost. And I think what's happened for a lot of us from the conversations I've had is that our sleep times are getting later and later through the pandemic, because we don't have to get up so early. And so we're often getting more tired too. And also when we're not exercising, our quality of sleep isn't so good either. So first and foremost, work on your sleep. Secondly, work on just acknowledging the thoughts for what they are. They're thoughts, they can't hurt you, you don't have to act on them. The thoughts don't mean you're a bad person, because something else people often think about is, I'm having these thoughts, I'm clearly a bad person. But actually, it's just your brain's warning system thinking about all the worst case scenarios. So recognizing it for that, this is just an early warning system. I don't need to act on it. It's telling me about things that might happen. These aren't gonna happen, they're not true. I'm okay to look after myself, so using positive self-talk, I don't need to act on this, and I'm going to go and do X, Y, and Z. So just that acknowledgement, don't engage with the thought, find something else to do. Also with that, find other meaningful activities as well, because again, I think some of the things that have helped lift us up have gone by the wayside, and so it does leave a lot more space for those thoughts. So finding activities that give you a sense of purpose, that help you feel like you're achieving things, that distract you, day to day, that give you a challenge, those are things that are important too, because they don't give as much space and air time for those thoughts either. And then obviously if you are really struggling and have ongoing distressing thoughts and it's impacting your mood and your well-being, I would say go and talk to someone. And again, your GP can be a really great first port of call, because they'll know about local services, but obviously therapists, and there are a number of different services that can offer help around that. There are also online programs. Like I said, we've developed a chatbot.
That was Joe speaking to Leisha Donkin, a clinical psychologist from AUT, about intrusive thoughts. If you are struggling with your own mental well-being, please be sure to contact your GP for support. You can also contact the Depression Helpline at 0800 111 757 or Healthline at 0800 611 116 for guidance or support.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.